Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Do you put on an accent when you call him?
No, I don't call. I'll order
over. Can you imagine, Mahoney? Hello!
Dave and Mahoney.
See, I thought you were saying that you put on an accent so that they don't detect your whiteness.
No, I order over the app.
All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show? Well, some bad news.
Yeah, they're saying that space junk is going to kill someone in the next 10 years.
I mean, that'd be kind of a cool way to go out, though, for real.
Yeah.
Somebody's space junk just flying and hitting you in your head?
How'd Mahoney die?
Space junk. Straight to the forehead. Doink.
Better than earth junk.
Yeah.
Better than earth junk.
That was deep, Mahoney.
Earth junk is fairly unimpressive compared to space junk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you traveled all the way from outer space to come murder me, I'd be like, thanks, man. I mean, appreciate the effort.
Your junk.
I appreciate the effort. Murdered me with your huge junk from outer space.
But I think what they're talking about here is the thousands of satellites that we have that are just floating around the old planet.
It's pretty scary. I mean, especially whenever you think back to a lot of the movies that have been made and done over the last 20, 30 years now. And a lot of it is just, you know, asteroids or meteors coming down to Earth, or in this case, a satellite coming down to Earth and crushing us.
So I don't think we need to worry about this too much, because if they're saying 10 years... And we can kind of track where these things are going to fall out of orbit from. So that's one of the things that's also good. We know where they are. We know where they're, the general area where they're going to land. We can shoot it down. I mean, you look at what they have over in like the Middle East, the Iron Dome stuff that is wild, if you've ever seen in action. Like, just apply that to the damn fallen satellites.
Well, it's just last week that a dead NASA satellite crashed back down to Earth, and they're saying it had a 1 in 2,500 chance of killing someone.
1 in how long?
Big? 1 in 2,500 chance of killing somebody.
I think that's pretty good odds.
As somebody that has done a lot of gambling in my life.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's pretty good
I'll
odds.
Take that sweat.
Yeah, I'll take that. Sure. That's fine. It's not even a sweat.
Yeah.
It's fine. Tell where the satellite's supposed to fall.
It's way more dangerous driving.
I'll go stand there.
It's way more dangerous driving.
For sure it is.
That feels like a whale's going to get it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ocean. Might fall in there.
And whales are so unnecessarily large. What are you doing with all that size?
I could take a hit.
Nothing. Yeah. Just
me? Try squash satellite. Like a bug. Them, they lose a tail.
Lose a tail.
Dude, if you're a whale without a tail.
Oh, whale tail.
Then you are not meant for the 2000s.
If somebody's whale tail got knocked off, I bet Audrey would wear it back in the 90s.
Dude, I'm 31. I wish. I would have thrived. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I would have been wailing and tailing all
you
over town.
You would have had the best lower back tattoo.
I say that.
She would have had a barbed wire arm tattoo.
For sure. 100%.
My mother, love her. She's got a tramp stamp.
Does
so
she?
I
what
know.
Is it a dolphin?
It's
or a
like
moon?
Something.
It's a sun. It's like, a sun.
It's
a sun.
It's something. I don't quite know what it is.
A tribal sun?
In with the zodiac sign.
Oh, yeah. Hey, your mom was probably a good time back.
Don't you talk about my mother like that.
She's a great time.
Not just a good one, a great one.
Great time. Some good news today as well.
What do we got, Dave?
A seventh grader by the name of Dylan is rightfully being hailed as a hero because he stopped the school bus after the driver of the bus just passed out while driving it with a whole bunch of kids in it.
That's scary.
Hey, like, what are you doing, driver man?
I mean, I think he just, it was a health scare.
No, I know, but like, hey. Like, there's few jobs.
Don't you shame him?
Man, you got a bus full of kids. This is not the time to be having a health scare.
Yeah.
He can choose.
Yeah, narcoleptic. Yeah. Whatever.
Be better.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So this is interesting, Audrey, because I'm seeing you morph into your true self in real time. So you recently moved into a new apartment building, and you mentioned that there is a bunch of younger people that live there.
Yes.
And... At first, you were like, oh, I want to go to the pool party. I want to do this. I want to do that. And now
so I'm friends.
You are becoming your true self, which is becoming the den mother of your building.
I'm the RAs?
Yes. Exactly what it is.
Like legit, Mahoney, you are spot on. So the other day I was like walking towards, because I have valet trash where I can just leave the bag outside of my door, but I'm also like 5 paces to my right to the actual trash room. So I'm like, okay. Well,
Does you throw the trash down like a chute?
Chute, yeah.
That's fun.
That is fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I could be lazy, just stick it outside of my door, or I could just, like, take it down to the trash room.
Do you want smelly trash even outside of your door if somebody's going to come pick it up?
Yeah, because I've got carpet.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm right by the, and honestly, I'm doing a courtesy for the floor as well. If I put trash out, I'm right by the parking lot and also by the elevator. So I don't want people smelling trash right by both of those things. So whenever they come in, I don't want it to smell like garbage.
Or the paparazzi going through your trash because you're
a celebrity. So is there anything worse in life than a leaky trash bag?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, it's just such panic. You're just like, you do that thing where you're doing the weird waddle and you're trying to carry it.
Nothing worse, honestly. So instead of doing that, I like taking it just to the trash chute. And I noticed the other day, guys, some drama on my floor.
Oh, no.
And this is how I know I live amongst the Youngs, because somebody put a very petty note with, like, curse words on it.
They printed out curse words? Like, they hand wrote it. They wrote out, what was it?
They were like, don't put, because I guess sometimes, you know, you can get those bigger trash bags and they won't fit in the chute. They just won't.
The black ones for like yard waste?
Yes.
Okay.
So somebody has some of those and they've been filling it to the brim and leaving it outside of the trash chute on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like, don't put your beep trash on the beep floor. And
they wrote out the F word twice?
Yes.
Wow.
And then someone co-signed what they wrote. Someone was like, yeah, these lazy boop, boop, boop. I was like, oh my God, I ripped that thing off so fast. I was like, not on my floor.
No, not negative energy.
They're not wrong though.
I know, but I just feel like put an order in through the office then and have them send out a mass email, because there's nothing more embarrassing than feeling like you're the one who's the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they also, if you're leaving it out there, they've got cameras. They can figure out who's the ones doing it. You know?
Thanks for coming to Audrey's TED Talk about being effectively passive aggressive, you guys.
It's funny because I didn't know if I was trying to, like, monitor the floor with positive energy or if I'm just, like, becoming
the old grumpy lady on the floor.
Did you
take the sign down and then drop it down the trash chute?
I threw it away. I crumpled it up.
Dave, I bet Audrey gets a sign on her door now about not taking down other signs.
That's right.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and
leave a message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Why are you guys missing the mark when it comes to merch? Because I'm pretty sure just have shirts, right? Well, I mean, what about socks, beach towels? Get it together, because I would actually get all of them. I love you guys. Huge, huge fan.
Message deleted.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't feel like the
market.
Well, yeah.
The market doesn't call for that.
You do, sir.
Yeah.
But I feel like logoed beach towels had their day in the sun, quite literally, and those are gone. It was like back in the day you'd see like the Marlboro beach towels or like the Corona beach towels. In fact, I think I bought a Corona beach towel because I was a douchebag.
I had one too. I'm also a douche.
Nice. Welcome
All you
aboard.
Wanted was that chrome Corona cooler that was promotional, and then you realize after it sits out in the sun all day long,
Scalding
it's a billion
hot.
Degrees.
Melt. Yes. And it's because I had one of those too.
Yeah.
They had teeny tiny handles. It wasn't the kind that you could like pull and roll.
Yeah.
It didn't have wheels on it. You had to pick it up with teeny tiny handles, and so there was no way to avoid the scalding hot Corona cooler unless you took your branded Corona towel, dunked that in the lake or the pool, and then covered it and carried it like
Dave,
that.
Dave, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why were coolers without wheels for so long? Like, we've had the wheel for what?
Since caveman.
100,000 plus years?
Sure.
At least since the Flintstones.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, Barney Rubble.
So why, in this modern era, do they still make coolers that are larger than, let's just say, a handheld one that don't have wheels?
I think they're supposed to be put in places like boats.
Yeah, but still, you can wheel your cooler to the boat and then just plop it on
the dock.
Boat.
You think you want to carry a big ass cooler?
No, I don't
Audrey?
Think you want to. But I think that they're meant for places that, because the wheels don't retract inside. That's what I would ask, like, for it to pop in like a Heely. Remember those shoes?
Yeah,
you could click it. And then they would come out and in. Like, I feel like that's what the wheel should do on certain coolers, so they fit into, like, spaces and places that a wheel can't go in.
Like landing gear on an airplane.
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
It's going to get stuck and it's going to have to circle the airport for 38 minutes. Yeah. We're looking at you, JetBlue. Uh-huh. Always you.
JetBlue.
It's always you, JetBlue.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's better, a sick-ass guitar solo or a sick-ass drum solo? I don't know, but there's something about a killer drum solo that just gets me going.
Message deleted.
I'm feral for a guitar solo.
Wrong. Of course, he's wrong.
I mean, everybody can appreciate a great drum solo, but a masterfully done guitar solo.
All the reverb. Yeah. I want it to sound grimy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Give me them distortion pedals.
For real.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to sound like I am in a dive bar and, like, I can't even see past the smoke. So it's just, like, the sound of the music coming
bluesy.
Through. Bluesy. Yes. All day.
Sweet.
And he's, like, always his eyes are closed.
I do.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Have you ever had that sinking feeling where you leave something behind in an Uber?
Oh, yeah. I've left a wallet behind before. I've left a pile of vomit behind before.
My dignity.
I've made some mistakes in an Uber before, Dave.
Yeah. There was a recent article that was put out about some of the weirdest things that have been left behind in an Uber, and that was put together by actual Uber drivers.
Okay.
Would you like to hear some of them?
Sure.
A fog machine?
I mean,
a fog machine.
That's probably like a DJ.
I feel like if you are carrying around a fog machine, it would be really hard to misplace your fog machine.
Aren't fog machines kind of small?
Not really.
No, oh, they're large.
No, they have smaller ones.
Right.
But the smaller ones are the size of a mini suitcase.
Yeah.
Or a mini stereo.
Like a large, back in the day, that's a great example of like the stereo you used to carry on your shoulder.
Yes.
Which, that's also a vibe.
Yeah. Bring back the boombox.
An ankle monitor.
How do you slip out of that thing?
I don't feel like that was an accident. I feel
like hey, baby, you want to slip into something more comfortable? Take off that ankle
monitor.
a unicycle?
Yeah, okay.
I feel like that person left it in the trunk. Forget about your unicycle. How'd you get there?
You're drunk and unicycling, and you got tired.
You're drunk unicycling?
That's why you called an Uber.
Fair.
Yeah. You went out unicycling, and then you got drunk? Yeah. Pregnancy test?
Oh,
it wasn't used, was it?
How do you forget that?
16 ounces of fake blood.
Okay.
A remote-controlled adult toy, if you will.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to go get that back.
A Star Wars-style lightsaber.
Dork. I mean, that's just sad.
Dork.
Two fingernails.
Like they're press-ons. They got to be press-ons.
Got to be. A fake tooth.
Press-ons, got to be press-ons.
Harry from Home Alone?
This is all found in the same Uber?
No.
A
single Gucci loafer.
Okay,
And perhaps my favorite, the last one on the list, is a Danny DeVito Christmas ornament.
I mean, just so many things lost, Dave, and
easy to
probably
forget,
will never be reunited with their owners.
Very small ornament.
See, whenever I saw an article, I don't know if it was this one, Dave, but one similar where they were talking about the pets that have been left.
Yeah, there was an assortment of animals.
Oh, was this one too?
Poodle and some hamsters and two turtles.
Who leaves a whole poodle behind?
Two turtles and a rat.
This sounds like the worst Christmas song of all time.
It sounds like an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Two turtles and a rat.
Two turtles and a rat and one tiny Gucci slipper. Like, who left all that behind?
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
There is a certain person. So vile, so arrogant. A middle ground between horrible and useless. A culinary and retail nightmare. A person who we call Karen.
Karen, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why?
These are the Karen Chronicles.
Why did you do that, Karen?
There are certain people out there that think that the entire world revolves around them. Every one of their last whims must be delighted every time that they go out. Otherwise, they must speak to a manager immediately.
Dave, we live in a world where, with the stroke of a key, a Karen or a Darren can bring down a culinary or service empire.
I love that you added your Foley into that, Mahoney. You do take a lot of pride in your Foley whenever we're
Yeah, that's not fake keyboard typing. That is legitimate keyboard Foley.
Mahoney actually went out and purchased a new louder keyboard so you could hear him stroking the keys as we went through these reviews. All real reviews and very well-reviewed establishments in general. So this first one here is the Shogun Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi in Naperville, Illinois. It's got 4.5 out of 5 stars. Nina C. said 5 out of 5. Shogun was great. Went for hibachi, and the food was delicious. Renee K. said, we went there for our 5th wedding anniversary, a cold, snowy day capped off by a great hibachi restaurant. Couldn't have been better.
Sounds like a wonderful place, Dave.
Well, until you get to Karen's review, Karen O. said 1 out of 5 stars. Do not eat ever at. They will serve you contaminated food. What if I die? It is and ain't right. Food safety is paramount. There is no but. You have to get it right the first time. And oops, this is how we do things. You could have killed me. My server came over and he put our meat down on the table and it was completely raw. It was right next to my rice. It could have contaminated my rice. And when I said something to the manager, she said, well, that's how hibachi goes. No. Food safety trumps culture, cooking styles, and any restaurant's motto.
She sounds like one of those people who likes her food all separated, no touchy-touchy.
Yeah, that is actually literally how hibachi works, though.
Like, have you never...
They cook it in front of you.
Never been to a hibachi place ever, Karen.
I love it when they toss those little shrimp my way. I act all bashful.
Like, I don't know if I can do it.
If I were to choke...
Sucky neck.
If I were to choke on one of those shrimp that they threw into my throat, I wouldn't even have my family sue.
That's how you want to go. Yeah.
That's how I want to die.
Be like, throw the whole filet at me. I want to eat it like a dog. This next one is the Mary Shelley. It's a goth bar in Buffalo, New York.
Ooh, Mary Shelley Frankenstein, writer. That's a really cool name of a bar.
4.5 out of 5 stars. IVV said 5 out of 5. It's a whole vibe. They have absinthe. The people are cool. I seriously loved it.
They have absinthe. Okay.
Leah said 5 out of 5. My brother and I had the best time at the Mary Shelley. There was a DJ, and it was Cedric's birthday.
Shout out to Sid, whoever you are.
Okay, Leah. Karen W. did not have a good experience, and it's 1 out of 5 stars. I could feel it blocks away, just the energy. Everything was turning bleak, but I decided to take my friend Sharon's advice and go forward with my excursion. The instant I walked in, my response is, why is this place so demonic? There was one man sitting at the bar with a trench coat, strange facial hair, and he told me that many people in there are Satan worshippers. I felt the darkness and evil truly taking over me in that moment. I had to leave before something bad happened. I will never go back. I saw the mock look on their faces as I left. Well, you won't be able to mock me from hell.
You're an idiot. Mary Shelley is literally a horror writer. Like, you're an idiot.
Wasn't there a Frankenstein movie called From Hell?
Probably. Yeah. Sure. We'll just say yes because I don't know. But I don't know. I just agree.
If I am in hell, I am 100% still mocking you, Karen.
Absolutely.
100%.
I have eternity to mock you, and it will delight me for all of it. The last one here is the Chilsack beanbag chair. So if you're not familiar, it's like the oversized beanbags. So you see how big that thing is.
I like that.
The image
kind
has
of expensive. They are surprising. It's a giant
like
beanbag.
$200 for a beanbag.
Oh, no.
Bag.
I've seen it for $6.
This one probably is one of the more $600 ones because it has 2 people sitting on it and there's room for a 3rd or 4th person.
Sure.
It's got 4.1 out of 5 stars, over 2,000 reviews on Amazon. And this first one from Astro is maybe a little bit too glowing. It said 5 out of 5 stars. This beanbag chair has changed my life and given me hope for the future, in which I intend to perhaps own 3 or 4 overlapping in a small, perfectly sunken area in my floor space. It could make room, and I would be able to trudge through the foam and faux fur before finding that ultimate and final rest.
I hate this
Please
person.
Please bow your heads with me and let us pray for this miraculous future.
Boo, I hate you. Can I Karen that person?
Well, Karen is coming in hot with 1 out of 5 stars. Not only does this beanbag completely consume you and keep you stuck in an uncomfortable purgatory all day, but there are other consequences that I have encountered as well. This beanbag traps farts. All shapes, sizes, and creeds of farts, and my husband sits here farting for hours and hours, and then the farts are absorbed into the beanbag, and you don't smell them again until you sit down later on the beanbag, and the fumes are released. It is a real life whoopee cushion, and it is awful.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Glitz, glamour, and out of touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So I was bummed, like I think a lot of people were, when we heard the news that Jerry Springer had passed away at 79 years old. And he was laid to rest in a private ceremony with his family and close friends. But they're actually planning a public get-together, a celebration of his life in the near future. And they're saying it's scheduled to happen on May 16th in Cincinnati. But if you go to that event, like, you kind of have to throw a chair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to marry a cousin.
Yep.
You have to, like, you got a chance, Steve.
Steve.
I love
even,
Steve.
Even though Steve forsake Jerry.
Steve went on his own
show.
He went on his own.
I think he still has his own show.
The Steve Wilco show?
Yeah. I think it's still going strong.
We had a chance. I don't know if you ever had I know I had a chance to meet Jerry Springer on a couple occasions.
Yeah. Very nice. Extraordinarily nice.
Incredibly nice. Incredibly professional. Could not be cooler.
I think he raised a lot of us. I distinctly remember my freshman year in college. It was a thing where I would get done with class, and whatever time his show was on, it synced up perfectly with me going back to the dorm, and I would walk in the dorm in the front door, and then in the lobby, they had a little TV,
Jerry.
And everyone would be gathered around. There'd be like 30 people.
You couldn't believe
what
you were seeing at that point in time. But we always had, like, Audrey, you're a little bit younger than us, and so I hid my watching of Jerry Springer from my parents. And I think you were already out of the house, Dave, by the time you were watching, because I know that probably wouldn't have flown to your house.
Absolutely
But
not.
Did your mom know that you were watching Jerry Springer, Audrey?
So, we mentioned my mother's lower back tattoo earlier. She raised me. You know what I mean? Like, I was a TV kid, and I remember distinctly the type of mother that I grew up with. I knew that when 10 o'clock hit and Howard Stern was on E, that was time for me to go up to bed, or 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever time it was on
she,
E.
She wasn't shutting that show off. She was shutting her kid off.
Absolutely. Like, you go upstairs. Yeah. So whenever I was home, like, say if I was like sick and stayed home or whatever, it was Jerry Springer and Maury.
Maury.
Were the two.
Oh, yeah.
Sally Jesse Raphael was always my jam.
Yeah.
And then Donahue.
What about Ricky Lake?
Ricky. No, and I also loved Ricky, too. Yeah. And what Rosie. I watched them all. I loved it.
Remember when Rosie O'Donnell was nice?
She was the queen of nice. That was literally her. I watched with my mom every day Rosie O'Donnell.
Isn't it wild and that the same playbook with Rosie O'Donnell and then Ellen happened where...
And it's the same. They're
the
just
same thing.
Toxic, horrible,
fake. So
but,
fake.
But you there are so it. Many dudes who were in the same predicament, but it doesn't necessarily turn out the way it has for Ellen and for Rosie because they put it in their contracts to leave
Steve
them
Harvey's
alone.
Steve just like, I just want no one to look me in the eye.
And we already
literally
know
in
he's
his
a
contract.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you circle it back around. You take Ellen, you take Rosie, and they play off as super, super nice. Ricky Lake, from all accounts that I've ever heard of, is super nice.
Yeah.
But look at Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
You know, he had the trashiest of all the shows.
Nicest dude in the world.
Was the coolest.
And attempted to run for political office.
No, he was the mayor.
He was the mayor.
He was the mayor of Cincinnati.
I think he had to step down because he did pay off an adult worker.
Really?
With a check.
I believe it was a check. Jerry, you wrote him a check?
The easiest way, if I'm recalling correctly.
I think you're right. I think I remember that story where Jerry Springer.
But he was mayor. He was a lawyer and a mayor and, you know, like, was a public servant before all that.
It has your accounting and your routing on there.
You gave a hooker a check. Come on, man.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know the songs, but do you know them when they sound this bad? It's Cover Your Ears.
A Dave and Mahoney.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that think that they are musical talents. And I didn't know that people were so unself-aware until I started watching, like, that first season of American Idol, where people would walk in, they think that they've got it, and they just don't sometimes.
I mean, William Hung made a career off of that. I often wonder, where is William Hung today?
You know what a really funny story is William Hung somehow got connected to me. He's working on some new thing, but I've got a production company. He was emailing me, I'd swear to God, 3 months ago, maybe.
Really?
He wanted to partner on something.
And you didn't partner?
Nah, man.
For shame.
That, Dave, that ain't for me.
You could have been...
Dave Hung.
Simon Cowell, yes.
Well, one of the things we love about this game is that there are so many people out there who take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And they record these songs and they upload them to the internet for our listening pleasure.
All right, so Jim is joining us today. How are you, Jim?
Doing pretty good.
So here's how it works. We've got 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these songs. Go ahead and listen to the entire thing and then make your guess. If you get the artist and the song, you're going to get a full point today. And you can use Mahoney and Audrey one time each as a lifeline, okay?
So you got to get the artist and the song both?
Artist and the song for a full point. If you just get the song or just get the artist, you get a half point. So
they like to,
we'll try to
encourage
help you
to win. Yeah.
We'll try to help you if we can. All right. So here we go. 30 seconds on the clock for this one. I will say this one is not very popular. It's only got 22 views so far online from an artist called You Can Sing Better. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jim, the 30 seconds is up. Go ahead and make your guess if you know it.
Every Breath You Take by The Police.
That is correct. Well done. You are on the board with a full point. Very nice.
He did kind of sound like if,
don't you say
if,
that.
If Sting
was feeling tantric.
I just got like hit in his head.
All right, Jim, well done. Here we go.
There are shades of it.
Yeah. Here we go on to number two. This is from War DM. Also, not that popular. 64 views on this bad boy. Here we go.
Girl, you're sweet with a glass kind of sandals. Come down on me. So straight, I'll let you go, Jim Locke, when I know that he's looking at me. I like high school, little man with a lady and boys in a sour mess.
That sounds like me driving down the road. It
sounds like
to sing
a Bob Dylan mashup with that.
All right, Jim, do you know it?
Walk This Way by Aerosmith.
Crushing this game today, Jim. Well
done. What was
done.
That person's name? War DM?
War DM, yeah.
Like war. War DM. That's like war in the DM.
Mm-hmm,
I thought it was like War TM. Yeah.
Or DM as in Dungeon Master.
Oh, that could be
like
it.
He's a Warhammer Dungeon
that's
Master.
That's where you went with Dungeon Master?
Okay, here we go. Yes. On to number three. This one is Skips Fails at Singing. It's got 277 views. You are doing great. No lifelines used at all so far.
Just a small town girl.
Stop it.
Living in a lonely world. Take a midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy. Police and self-destruct. Take a midnight train going anywhere.
Absolutely perfect. No notes. That is spectacular. Jim, what do you got for us?
Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
That is right.
That is
another
so
full point.
I have been drunk and done a worse rendition of that song.
Is that true?
I
please tell me that's
I was a kid going
true.
Through puberty. I mean, like, I kind of felt bad laughing.
No,
that is an adult.
That adult chose to upload that to the internet. That is fair game. Don't you feel bad?
Yuck. Nope. All of this is fair
game.
They
had to click upload.
and wait for it to process.
Entitled that.
Hours.
All right, Jim, you can win it right here if you get a full point on this one. This is from Vital Remains. It's got 914 views on this bad boy. Here we go.
Dry boy, I'm calling all the shots. I got a nice guy coming down on the rocks. If you think I'll sit around, it's a fool in my brain. This city, I ain't fooling, and you better think again. Out there is a fortune waiting to be had.
And we'll stop it right there.
These are horrible. That was hard.
I really want to get to the hook on that.
I know.
I don't know it. I can't help you.
Jim, do you know it?
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
In 1984, I seen this band, and they were so good. You Got Another Thing Coming by Judas Priest.
Oh, wow. Jim!
Made warmed up for him, 1984. Best concert ever.
Love to hear that, brother.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
You know, it's funny when you think about stars and people that have kind of broken through recently. If I just say one word, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about without even saying their name.
Zendaya.
No, that's not the Zendaya.
I'm going to say the same thing?
Yes.
Is it? Are you going to say Daddy?
Daddy, yeah.
And I'm going to say Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. Pedro Pascal, obviously, you know, Mandalorian was a big role for him. Last of Us was another huge breakthrough.
But there were so many roles that led up to those roles and, that we forget about.
Normally how it works, right? Like, he was in Game of Thrones. And
he was in Game of Thrones. He was in Narcos.
Narcos was a big one as well. Like, he was really good in Narcos.
What
like
did they say it takes 20 years to become an overnight celebrity?
Yeah, it takes 10 years of hard work to be an overnight success.
Yeah.
Yep. And but Pedro Pascal is now one of the hottest stars in Hollywood, and he's starting to get these nods towards some really significant roles, and I'm really quite interested in this one because I think it fits him perfectly, especially after everything that he did in his role for Game of Thrones. They're talking about him joining the Gladiator sequel.
Love it.
So,
does Gladiator need a sequel?
Yes, it was a good movie.
Maximus dies. Spoiler, sorry, 22 years later, I apologize.
Isn't it wild that Gladiator did $460 million at the box office?
First DVD I ever bought. The reason I bought a DVD player was for the movie Gladiator.
Really? Yeah, but like $460 million at the box office is obviously a lot of money.
But that's like also 20 years
ago. I know, but I mean, you think about like the Mario Brothers movie and the fact that it's done over $1 billion and you're like, Gladiator only did $460 million.
But again, adjusted for inflation, they're about the same right now.
Yeah, but again, like, but Mario Brothers is only a few weeks out.
It's but that's also an established brand that's been there for 40 years. I don't know. I'm just looking at Gladiator and some of Ridley Scott's latest stuff. It just doesn't inspire confidence in me. You know, I think Pedro Pascal is a great actor, but like, do we need some sort of sequel to Gladiator?
Is it a sequel or is it just like,
well, I mean, it's Gladiator 2.
It's a story that's continuing. It's not the same thing. It's not like they're remaking Gladiator or something like that, right?
I mean, everybody's dead. Everybody's dead.
I don't know. I'm a big Pedro Pascal fan. I like him in that type of role because he kind of plays the underdog, you know, which Russell Crowe traditionally hasn't done very well, but he actually did well in that role, obviously. Yeah. So Pedro Pascal, I'm all about it. I think that Denzel Washington is going to be in the movie as well.
Okay.
Connie Nielsen is going to be returning as well with her former role in the Gladiator series.
I just let you say Denzel. I'm like, all right.
Okay, now you're on board. Yeah.
All right, we'll see what...
Because Denzel doesn't just like accept roles that he doesn't just knock out of the park.
But he's always just Denzel Washington at this point.
Well, he's transcended.
Yes, because you're just like, Denzel Washington.
But it's not like The Rock playing The Rock.
In a toga. You know?
Actually, wait, no, maybe I'm off of it now because Denzel in a toga.
No, they made a movie. There was a Coen brother movie that was on Apple Plus. It was like a Macbeth or Othello. I forget one of those two movies, and it was horrible.
Can't.
But I'll watch this.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How many people have gone to sleep wearing cement shoes because of the Bills Mafia? We'll probably never know.
Message deleted.
Yes, the Bills Mafia is actually out here whacking people. That would be something, wouldn't it?
No, I mean, if you're going to get murdered by the Bills Mafia, it would be a cement folding table that they threw you into a lake. Yeah.
I will say, as far as like all the fan bases around the country, The Bills Mafia seems to be pretty lighthearted and fun.
They just feel like they're a tailgate central. Like, all I want to do is party with them.
Yeah, the same. Like, I don't feel like you'd get stabbed at a Bills tailgate. You may
get thrown through a folding table.
You may get thrown through a folding table, but that's in good fun.
But I also feel like you may want to throw yourself through a folding table as well, which, as a teenage boy...
Didn't you do some backyard wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love backyard wrestling in Missouri.
Do you remember when that was a thing?
Like, boys are weird.
Yeah. I mean,
it was ICP. I mean, if you're going to compare a fandom to like ICP, the Insane Clown Posse, the Juggalos, the Bills, pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close. But more fun. A little less woodsy.
May I ask, as a lady?
Yeah.
Why do boys do the most ridiculous stunts? Like, you guys played with fire.
It's hardwired into us for some reason. I mean, when I was growing up,
just destruction.
Yeah. And I even see it with my own kids now, where like my oldest daughter Sienna, who's 7, she's like very nurturing and she wants
a caretaker.
To have tea parties and with her little baby dolls and just, you know, be a little mom. Just like the most little nurturing thing.
Because she's looking at her mom be a mom.
Exactly. And then my son Duke will just come over and just start kicking the babies. Just wants to destroy.
It's wild.
It is.
It's just, there could not be more of an opposite of growing up.
Mahoney, growing up in Missouri, was backyard wrestling probably the most dangerous thing that you did?
No.
What?
For us, like, we used to build these ramps for our BMX bikes, and you would take the ramp and you'd go flying into the woods.
Yep.
It was off of a hill, and you'd hit the ramp and just go flying into trees, and you just see what happened.
The invincibility that you feel when you're a kid.
What we would do, we had a big-ass tree with the tree swing, which had a knot at the bottom of it, so like one big rope. And then there was like a circular board that you would sit on and you would swing.
Swing, yeah.
We would ride our bikes, and then we had a friend who got a motorbike.
Ooh, and then hit the swing?
And you would like joust.
Yeah.
And then you would stick your arm out like you're going to clothesline.
Uh-huh.
Let the thing come up, catch you in the armpit, and then you would fling 30 feet into the air.
That's good times.
But you're going who knows how fast, and then you would let your bike or the motorbike run down because there was a street below it.
Y'all are crazy.
And so, I mean, I don't know if it's different now because obviously we had nothing to do. So it's like we just had to be out of the house. Summertime, everything's in reruns on TV. Your parents just were like, you're out. Go play outside.
And then,
Your parents are
getting a divorce inside. So you're just like playing outside.
As long as you didn't come back with something that required an emergency room visit, they didn't care. No, they never asked questions.
I literally used to get locked.
Outside.
Like,
I feel like that's
legit.
Some trauma you gotta unpack.
I turned out fine-ish.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey, what is one thing about boys you didn't know until you got with one?
Message deleted.
Y'all are smelly. I did not know that you guys were such... So there's a thing that's going around on TikTok called... boyfriend air. I'll teach you something.
Oh, boy.
So it's a thing that's this new Gen Z thing, whatever they want to make up, where whenever you are around your boyfriend in the beginning stages of a relationship, you're going over to their house, and there is no amount of hygiene that you can really come back as because they don't have the routine that women do, right? So, like, you're stuck if you shower over there and you've got to go to work the next day. You're using a freaking 5-in-1 shampoo and then heading to work. Yeah. And there's no makeup remover, so your makeup is, like, all down your face. So it's called boyfriend air because, you look like you got the air. Like, the life sucked out of you whenever you're going on to wherever you're going the next day if you stay the night. And it's because you guys, your routine is about 1/3 of a woman's.
Yeah, or we just don't want you to stay the night.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz on Dave and Mahoney.
Steve is joining us today for a round of the movie quote quiz. How are you today, Steve?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Here's how the game works. We are going to have you go 3 for 4. If you can get 3 out of the 4 correct, you are going to win. You do have 1 lifeline if you need it. These are all big popular movies that I'm sure you've seen over the years, but it can be kind of tricky to figure out what they are when you only get like 15, 20 seconds of it.
Well, luckily, Dave, he has me to help. I did take a introduction to cinema class at my second community college attended, and I did get an A in that.
Did you really?
I did.
Is that the only class that you got an A in?
It's the only class at community college that I got an A in, yes.
Excellent.
I also took a radio class, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Didn't get an A in that, huh?
Nope.
That checks out. All right, Steve. So just real quick before we get going, what is your favorite genre or your favorite film?
Oh, John Ritter?
John Ritter. That's a good one. Okay. All right, here we go. The first one, about 20 seconds on the clock. Here we go.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
All right, Steve, do you know it?
No, I do not know it.
I'm sure that either one of these two can help out. Audrey, you want to give it to him?
If he chooses me, do you choose me?
Choose her.
Sure. I'll take Audrey.
Sure. actually, I've never seen this movie, but I just know the dude as the Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. That's
that is literally my favorite movie.
And something about White Russians and milk.
That's, you should watch it. The
those
soundtrack.
Are the two things that I know.
Kenny Rogers in the first edition. I just stopped in to see what condition my condition is in. Is a banger.
You and your Kenny Rogers. I also know that about you, Mahoney. You are obsessed. You follow him on Twitter, and he follows you back.
No, that's Kenny Loggins. There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Kenny's are the same. Kenny Kinney's.
On to number two. This one's going to take us back to 1988 on this one. Here we go.
You've got me all wrong. You don't know how hard it is being a woman looking the way I do.
Yeah, well, you don't know how hard it is being a man looking at a woman looking the way you do.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Okay.
Playing
I'm just
patty
drawn
cake.
That way. Ooh. Do you know it, Steve?
Strong that way. I almost, it almost brings me back to like the Godfather part.
No. You have one person who you can rely on in this. I am burnt, but Mahoney is still available.
You want to tag Mahoney in?
I'll tag Mahoney.
That is Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That is correct.
Patty cake, patty
Christopher
cake.
Christopher Lloyd's scariest role of his career.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, but it's
horrifying.
All right.
We,
the lifelines horrifying. Have worked out well for you, so you got two correct. Here we go on to number three. This is one of my favorite comedies. This one takes us back to 1994.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd, you
guys! Enough!
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Oof. I know the movie is like right there.
Call him Lloyd. There's a Harry in there as well.
Kind of a dumb movie.
That's about all the hints we can give you.
Yeah, it's about all the hints. Dumb. I'm stumped.
Okay. I'm not calling you dumb.
No, that's not
I'm calling the movie dumb.
Okay. It's not Dumb and Dumber.
It is Dumb and Dumber.
No.
There we go.
Oh, man. Listen, if you want to give it to him, Dave, go ahead.
He did say it. Yeah. He did say it.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay. Last one. If you get this correct, you're going to win today.
That's nice. What is it, a sapphire?
Oh, my God.
A diamond. A very rare diamond. Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls. Wearing this.
All right.
Wearing only this.
It was about a ship.
It's on a boat.
It sank.
Oh, not the Titanic.
Yes.
Very fitting. Like we hit an iceberg. I'm going down with the ship.
Dave and Mahoney.
So this has become quite the hot topic online. Some people saying it is totally fine. Others saying this guy is a clown. You guys tell me what you think. A 70-year-old man just won a poker tournament in Florida. And
okay.
That's not any sort of news other than the fact that this guy, his name is David Hughes. He finished first in the $250 buy-in ladies no limit hold'em event that happened at the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Showdown. So according to anti-discrimination laws, Florida casinos are not technically permitted to ban men from entering a woman's event. He earned $5,555 for his victory.
Dave, this is literally and figuratively a dick move.
Yes.
Yeah, so this guy just went in knowing the rules and just swept all these women clean.
It's so what makes it, I mean, obviously men are better at women than almost everything.
For sure. But, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Joking.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
The thing is that they also put a bounty on his head. So some people had figured out that obviously this guy.
So they're coming for him.
Was needling people and he was playing in the women's event, even though he's a dude, which is
a douche
move.
He didn't put on a wig or nothing. He just showed up, dude. Just total dude.
Just old 70-year-old guy. Just doing his
the whole bit. Yeah. So a professional poker player heard about it, and she actually put a $300 bounty on his head, and there was several others that matched him.
A bounty on his head.
So basically, if you knock this guy out, then you're going to get. I mean, the total prize pool for winning the whole tournament was $5,555.
Solid.
But the bounty got up to $2,000 on this guy's head. So obviously people were trying to knock him out because you'd get an additional $2,000 along with all of his chips.
Hey, man.
If you knock this guy out.
If the rules are laid out like that and if you can come in there and do that, I mean.
But unfortunately, nobody did.
Yeah, because he's a 70-year-old guy just grinding.
Yes.
Who's going to skew, who doesn't care about the, you know, the rules or, you know, maybe even just the other things. This guy, he's the guy we run into when we're playing poker, when he just ruined your whole weekend.
Yes, you want to come in there and just have fun for like an hour and a half, and this guy is just sitting there for a month waiting for his pocket aces. Always the worst, but he ended up winning the thing, so good for you.
He played the game.
Loser.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. Do you think the world would be a better place if someone like Iron Man actually existed?
Message deleted.
No.
Absolutely not. No, because they would use it for evil.
Yes.
Everyone that has, like, all of the cool bombs and stuff, yeah, has power, they almost always use it for evil.
Even just with money. Like, take the equation out of, like, the brilliance that Iron Man has and, like, his genius. People just with a little too much money never put it to good use.
Yes, Bezos and Elon.
You morons. Like, you guys get filthy rich. You could solve world poverty in a flick of a second, and you choose to not.
Nah, you're going to Coachella. Like, what are you doing, Jeff Bezos? You are one of the top five richest dudes in the world. We're the richest guy for a moment.
Yeah.
What are you doing wearing a button-down shirt that's unbuttoned all the way down to your navel Coachella?
You can't hate because
you douche.
No, I think so. It is very douchey, but like I'm also a douche. So I feel like if I had that amount of money and if I already put in the work and got out, like, I mean, he's sold. He's no longer the CEO. I mean, he's like a part owner or whatever it is of Amazon now. He doesn't have to work. So now he is in his Coachella.
Button your shirt up. Yeah. Nobody needs to see dude navel.
No, never.
I am so here.
Ever.
Dave Farah, you look at me right now and tell me whenever you're in Greece or Mykonos or wherever you're at.
No, that's a shirt off. There's a big difference between shirt off.
I'm never wearing a shirt unbuttoned all the way down to my navel. Yes. Never.
And then like still partially tucked in.
Okay. You're giving me this incredulous look right now, Audrey.
At least three buttons deep.
I'm not saying if I had that kind of money, I would absolutely also be a douche.
Thank you.
But because I don't, I'm mad.
And we would not do good with our money.
No, I would also be evil.
We 100%
understand.
Not even like intentionally, just by proxy, we would do it.
I would smite people for fun.
Yeah.
I do that and I'm poor.
Hey, Dave, you're a great dad. Hey, Mahoney, you're an okay son with a good relationship with his dad. How do I make my dad love me? I'm talking quick fix here. Nothing that takes years, please. I don't have that kind of time.
Message deleted.
Buy him a cigar.
Yeah.
Or a bottle of scotch.
Do you like talk to your dads?
We're pretty simple people. Yeah, I talk to my dad all the time.
Like dudes talk to. Well, your dad's also a psychologist.
Yeah, he's like a real good talker, you know. Like anytime that I need like real life advice, I call my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like he'll just tell me like how it is.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Not going to sit there and sugarcoat it. But he also does a thing where I think I need to get much better at this as a dad myself, where he'll actually go, And he'll think about what he's going to say before he just starts blabbing.
See, I'm on the other end of that. Like, your dad gives you real talk. You know, when my dad just passed a couple months ago, but like I would talk to him on a pretty regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it was just me complaining and him telling me whatever I wanted to hear.
Oh, see, then there is something to be said about that.
Which was the greatest.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, man.
I don't know which one I would prefer. I don't know if I would want somebody just to like co-sign on everything. Or if I would want somebody to tell me, like, you're being a drama queen. Because I get both from both parents. Like, each one gives me whatever, like, I feel like I need at the time. But I saw somebody online who was like, you need to before you disclose how you're trying to vent, you need to say whether or not you're wanting validation for your beliefs, or if you're actually wanting somebody to talk you through.
You don't have those conversations with your parents, though. You don't say, I need validation. Now, that's some millennial Gen Z nonsense.
Like, shut up. I went to war.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So this is a pretty wild story about Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant has claimed that the Sun over in the UK has burglarized his home and tapped his landline to get information about his personal life. First question is, who cares that much about Hugh Grant?
Also, he had a pretty public, embarrassment back in the 90s with Divine Brown and the hooker scandal when he was dating. What other dirt are you trying? You're not going to embarrass Hugh Grant.
Right. At this point, what does Hugh Grant have to lose? But
what? Hugh Grant is a huge star. He literally just came out with, not literally just came out with, but he's had movies within the last...
No, I'm saying, but you're not going to embarrass him. He's had one of the biggest celebrity scandals of the last several decades.
It was a pretty big deal when that happened, and he was with Elizabeth Hurley at the time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Elizabeth Hurley was then, and is still, one of the most beautiful people on earth, and everybody was like,
how'd you fumble that bag? Yeah. Fumbled the bag.
Yeah, it's literally you have steak at home, but you're going out for hamburgers.
Hey, man, sometimes McDonald's hits.
No,
Mahoney. I mean, it does. Sometimes I don't want to grill,
gosh, ladies.
I'm not speaking metaphorically. I'm talking literally. Sometimes I just want McDonald's. I want a 10-piece.
Dude, literally, ladies, we're never the problem. It's never us. It's these men who sit here craving McDonald's.
Those fries?
Jesus
Christ.
Those
fries do make me
hot apple pie?
I can't.
McFlurry?
Shut up, Mahoney.
So talking about all the good attributes of not his wife. The reason why this is a story is because... You know, when you first hear this, you're like, okay, Hugh Grant's making stuff up. There's no way that a tabloid is essentially breaking into his house to tap his landline. But I guess Prince Harry is also suing NGN over an alleged unlawful information gathering of two of his properties. So the Sun and the now defunct News of the World claimed that his private information was unlawfully accessed. So, I mean, there's kind of a history.
I mean, they hacked those phones. If you remember a few years back, it was whatever the paper was, the tabloid, they did that. And, you know, they ended up accessing that, unfortunately, that girl who was missing and dead, her phone, and gave them. It's so this is not beyond the scope. So hopefully if they are doing that, the people who are guilty of this are held responsible.
Or even just thinking about something that we all know very publicly in the space that TMZ did, leaking the photos of Kobe Bryant before Vanessa even found out. I mean, the tabloids need to be under a microscope right now. I mean, you guys are doing things that are just immoral.
Like going out for McDonald's when you got steak at home.
Hey, it's open 24 hours in certain locations.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
When your lifetime goal is to own a partial interest in a fireworks stand, it's the Redneck Report.
Dog will hunt.
On Dave and Mahoney.
All right, so I'm going to ask you guys a quick question here. I'm going to show you two mugshots. They're both around the same age, mid-20s to early 30s.
They're not bad-looking people, Dave.
One's male, one's female. One of them ran from the cops in a Nissan Versa, and the other one pooped on somebody's car. Which is which?
Oh, no.
The chick pooped.
You'd think. No. It turns out that the guy pooped on somebody's car in the Villages in Florida. Yes, love that place. Because it was a romantic rival of his. And we've talked about this guy before. If you recall this story, Mahoney, the reason why it came back up is because they just handed him his sentence for pooping on somebody's car. What do you think that the sentence is for pooping on your romantic rival's car?
It needs to be something with a 2 involved. 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks.
Probation.
Unfortunately, they just did not get the humor of that. It's 1 year on probation, 40 hours of community service.
Come on, man. You got to have some creative sentencing going on here, judges.
22 hours of community service.
So tell me more about this lady who ran from the cops in a Nissan Versa. Because, great gas mileage. So did she just outrun them because she got better miles per gallon?
Yes.
No,
she outran the cops. So, I mean, they may have backed off because they were like, all right, we're not going to chase this idiot.
Yeah, we don't want to put the public at risk.
They pulled her over, and then she took off, but she got away from the cops. I'm like, if you're that cop in your supercharged vehicle, and you get outrun by a Nissan Versa, that just stinks.
I feel like this is giving Grand Theft Auto, it's giving you were out of the proximity for long enough so the stars went down from 4 to 1. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I feel like that is just exactly what happened. And they're like, you know what? We give up. No knock on the police officers, kind of, sort of. I am
no, you
kind
don't
of
chase somebody
on.
When you don't, if they're not if there's not an imminent threat.
No, I'm pit maneuvering. If you give me a badge and a gun, I'm pit maneuvering everyone.
Every Nissan Versa?
Even if they didn't do anything wrong.
You're running away from the police. You're evading officers. We have seen on Cops, all of us have seen this on TV, where you get chased until you are caught.
I on my way in to the station, I'm driving up the 202, and I'm going about, 75, 80 miles an hour. And a car gets on the on-ramp. but it's like one of those ones where they're getting on the on-ramp, but they kind of come over to the middle lane.
Oof. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm not dealing with this. Jam the gas, get in the fast lane, and I'm going like 90, 95.
As you do on the 202.
100. But I didn't realize there was a car in the fast lane that was really going fast.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I look behind me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe there's a car behind me already.
And then you realized it was a cop?
So I step on the gas some more. So I'm probably going 110 now.
What are you doing, man?
Well, I'm trying to get over. Hey, man, that's a V6.
The caps are going to come flying off.
the hood, the engine is rattling.
It wasn't rattling. It's a well-made automobile. It's got 140,000 miles on it.
Exactly.
It's got 140,000 miles.
She's just been through it.
So I start slowing down as I get over into the middle lane. And then I realize this car next to me has not, they've slowed down as soon as they got next to me. I'm like, so what, they're mad at me now?
Yeah.
I look over. It is a highway patrol officer.
Ah.
And he is pacing me now.
Cool.
I look over. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. Then he just peels off and then cuts in front of me, flips his lights, and then exits the highway.
That's your wife.
He was like, hey, buddy, yeah. I saw you.
So, thank you.
That
highway
is
patrol officer.
Your white privilege, sir.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Do you still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you. Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY and leave a
message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You guys are the best.
Hey, the best.
Keep rocking on.
Message deleted.
I love that we can entertain some drunk folk.
I like that he had a sidekick with him, man. Like that's a good call.
You guys are the best.
Hey, the best.
We need to
keep rocking on.
We need to incorporate that into some of our branding, Dave.
For sure we do. Just a drunk guy in the background. Yeah.
I think that's pretty appropriate for what that is on brand for what we do.
Absolutely.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Which one of you is most likely to write a book, go on tour, and become a professional speaker?
Message deleted.
Dave.
None of us are going to write a book.
No,
I
could hire a ghostwriter to write the book for me.
Well, you would just like tell them what to write, and then you would go out and speak about it.
If you're a famous person who's not a good writer, do not write your own book. Hire a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Make up stories. Nobody fact checks it. Just make it an interesting read.
Yeah, I mean, our boss was telling us about how, like, Steven Tyler's book is a mess. I'm like, how is that possible?
Because he wrote it himself.
If you're Steven Tyler, like, get somebody in there to fix that stuff. Like, writing is an art form. Stop thinking that you can do that.
Also, it's just a lot. I mean, I've tried to write a book before.
You have?
I've started a couple
Mahoney,
books.
What was your book going to be about?
It was a fantasy novel, kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, it didn't work out?
Did some world building.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had the characters, you know, kind of, you know, had an idea and it just...
Did you model any of the characters after yourself?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
The hero.
Stop.
Tall.
I have
blonde.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Carried a big sword.
No!
Oh, God.
This is David Mahoney.
I told you guys this before and I will say it again. Parrots absolutely freak me out.
They live too long.
They absolutely live too long.
Yeah.
What's a bird doing living 80 years? But now, researchers at Northeastern University, in collaboration with scientists at MIT, have found that a group of parrots can start making video calls to each other and forming friendships.
Parrots?
Yes. So the domesticated birds were taught to use Facebook Messenger for video sessions on tablets and smartphones. As researchers wondered if given the choice, would the parrots call each other? And the results were a resounding yes.
Their jobs, quite literally, in the wild, is to make calls to each other across the jungles.
I wouldn't say that's their job. They're just out there trying to get laid. Every time you hear a bird yell, that'd just be like, hey, you up?
You were just making it easier for them. Now we're just making it easier.
But now I've got another parrot story to couple with that. So Florida Highway Patrol troopers received several calls of a man driving erratically. And they thought maybe he was drunk in Clearwater, Florida. So they pulled him over, and when they approached the car, they found that a man was having an argument with his pet parrot.
Yep.
About what?
They just
the
be
parrot
healthy.
Was angry because it wanted to go home, and the man wanted to go to Clearwater Beach, and they were in the car yelling at each other. I wish I'm making this up. And this is a big parrot,
too. Oh, that's a macaw.
Yeah, that is a huge parrot. Look at that thing.
I think you turn the car around and you go back home.
Yeah, like I'm going to take you home, put you in your cage, and then I'm going to go to the beach. This guy was just trying to have a fun day with his parrot.
That's not a party parrot.
Take me home.
Or is this like one of those parrots that like he's out there on the beach, always trying to hustle everybody for pictures with it, and the parrot's like, I'm not getting my cut. I'm not working a day, you son of a bitch.
That's exactly what it was. It's my day off.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
Because your home phone, cell phone, email, Facebook, Twitter, and home screen all at the same time.
They're everywhere.